This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
David Eichel, Sean Bock, HawkeyeInsider.com, part of 24/7 Sports, here to give our instant reaction to the Big Ten announcing changes to its conference format, as well as diving into Iowa's upcoming Big Ten schedule in 2024 and 2025. No dates have been officially announced yet. That will be announced later this year. But Sean, at least we know who Iowa's playing, which is sounds kind of weird to say, but with the conference continuing to expand, USC, UCLA joining, Iowa's 2024 slate is going to be challenging, but I think really, really entertaining as well.
Yeah, I think the first things that you notice when the schedule popped up is UCLA, USC, obviously, because those two schools are the new ones in the conference starting in 2024. And, you know, you go to USC, that's going to be played at the they're going to be played at the Coliseum. That's going to be a really cool, really cool venue. Then you host UCLA, which, once again, is going to be interesting to see when, you know, that game is played. I think that's going to be one of those deciders, because I mean, guys that go to UCLA aren't going there because they want to play in the cold. So that's going to be, I think that's, and I mean, it's going to be their first season too in the Big Ten. So I think that's going to be a little bit of a culture shock for them. I mean, their away games, they play UCLA, they play at Indiana, at Iowa, at Michigan, at Rutgers, four places that could be pretty dang cold depending on when they are at in the season. So obviously, I mean, that's kind of the big storylines, you know, seeing USC, UCLA. But then you go to Ohio State again. I mean, we saw what happened at Ohio State this past season. You know, obviously, you hope for better results than that year. You hope for better personnel. But those three matchups, man. And then the rest of the slate looks like a Big Ten West type of slate. You go on the road at Illinois. You go on the road at Minnesota, you play Rutgers, then you host Maryland, Nebraska, already mentioned UCLA, and then Wisconsin. You know, it's important to mention that those Nebraska, Wisconsin, Minnesota games are the protected rivals, Iowa being the only team in the Big Ten with three protected rivalries. So you're going to be seeing those three teams every year. But I think it's going to be a good change of pace to get a little bit of a different taste of, you know, opponents that maybe you don't, Iowa doesn't see, you know, in 2023 or the Big Ten West. Because, I mean, it's always kind of cool to see Penn State come to town, Michigan State, even Rutgers, like if they are, even if they're not that good. Obviously, Ohio State, you want to play the best of the best. But, I mean, like we said offline, I mean, I think it's pretty cool to see, you know, those three schools, especially Ohio State, USC, UCLA, especially Ohio State and USC being on the road. USC is going to be pretty dang cool on the road, but Those are the types of games you want to play in. Those are the types of games that, you know, it's a big reason why these the conference went away from the divisions is, you know, kind of to change things up a little bit and, you know, give teams different looks and, you know, kind of uneven those divisions. Because, I mean, it was getting to the point the last couple of years where the Big Ten, I mean, in the Big Ten West and the Big Ten East, like, it's just so lopsided. And it's kind of a weird product when Iowa is playing against, or not even Iowa, but like, you know, like this past season, like the Big Ten championship, like that was just kind of a weird, just like Purdue of all teams, like that was just kind of a weird, you know,
situation.
Deal. And I think, and it's just getting to, it just got to a point where, you know, I really like what they did. When it came to
it, just seemed like repetitive at that point. And I get what you mean. I mean, like, look, I think the Big Ten West statistically, when you cap their wins and losses against the East, I think they do a good job. But the East is so heavily carried by Ohio State, Michigan. I'll even throw Penn State in there. The earlier Michigan State teams, I think, have Michigan State's had a couple of good years. But then you look at the Big Ten West, right? It's Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota's at least there. Competitive Nebraska hasn't been there. And then obviously the Big Ten West not winning a Big Ten championship in the entire time that they split up. And I think that's been a big deal too. I think the thing I hate about the format, Sean, is I just don't know how you have a true winner of the conference in without divisions. I just don't get the actual science behind it. I doubt the schedules as much as they want to try to make even. It's not realistic in my opinion, but it is cool. As you mentioned that like Iowa's gonna be able to go USC, like there's only protected certain games protected. With that being said, something that's really worth noting is Iowa's the only team in the Big Ten with three totally protected rivalries. I think there's only 11 total in the conference. If you look at Iowa, it's Nebraska, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. I was a little bit surprised to see Nebraska on there just because I still think it was a little bit of a forced rivalry when Nebraska got into the Big Ten, but I understand it. Minnesota, Wisconsin, I think you and I both knew and everybody knew, Sean, that was going to be protected as well. So I don't hate that from that standpoint, but we've kind of talked about this a little bit. We're going to talk about it for weeks to come, but this is almost a put up or shut up year for Iowa if they want to win a Big Ten championship. I mean, this is their best chance, I should say. Not put up or shut up, but it's their best chance to win one, just given the way the divisions are, given how much experience Iowa returns. I'll also mention this. My episode with Bud Elliott of the Iowa Summer School should be coming out in about 10 days to 2 weeks. I thought it was really good. I think it's going to get people really, really excited about Iowa football. But, yeah, as you mentioned, Sean, the schedule itself is just very interesting. The 2024 does no favors. I'm interested how far apart the road trips are between Ohio State and USC, and something that I'm very, very excited to really dive into when that season comes around. Lincoln Riley's offense versus Phil Parker's defense is going to be a ton of fun to watch. Like, I know it's very popular and it's been trendy on social media to kind of poke fun at, oh, let's get the West Coast excited about Big Ten football. Let's send Iowa in. Well, at least Iowa defensively right now can stack up against USC, and that's going to be a really cool chess match, I think, between Lincoln Riley, who's a Heisman-producing coach like crazy, and then Phil Parker, who's consistently, I would argue, the most underrated coordinator in the country.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too far ahead of ourselves with the analysis, but Iowa's defense is going to look pretty different in 2024 than it is with 2023. I imagine that this is going to be Cooper DeJean and Jamari Harris's last season, so Iowa's going to have a new look at cornerback with, you know, what they can do. I mean, I think Harris has one more year left, but it's likely that DeJean probably goes to the NFL if he, you know, has the year that he's expected to have. You know, I going back to the protected rivalries, I thought it would have been really cool to keep Illinois on there. If you would have taken out Nebraska, I think you could have replaced Illinois with it, and it obviously would have thrown a lot of people off. But I think, you know, with the way the – I guess maybe it's more the Brett Bielema factor. I mean, because Iowa won, was it like 12 of the last 13 or something like that going into this
I believe season? So. Yeah.
So they were – you know, Iowa had Illinois' number. But, I mean, Bielema has that program back to relevancy, especially, you know, in the division era. It would be interesting to see what happens when – you know, it goes to this format, but I think having that game, I think, you know, Iowa fans especially wouldn't have hated to see the Nebraska game go. But I mean, I think Illinois could have been a pretty good replacement too. I maybe that's more recency and like I said, with the Bielema factor, but you know, I just thought that was kind of, you know, fascinating to see, you know, if that could have been something that would have worked out, but
you know, the historical factor, I think, would have made a lot more sense. That's a really interesting point, Sean. I think Nebraska, Iowa is so high tension on social media and within the states, but I also think, again, like the Illinois, Iowa aspect of it, that's been across basketball and football. They just talk back and forth. So that would be interesting, but yeah, man, that 2024. I think it's going to be fun. I'm a little bit disappointed that Iowa's not getting a return game from USC or Ohio State in 2025, just since Iowa has to go back-to-back. Maybe that's just the way the schedule sort of lined up. But you look at that schedule, let's just hop ahead to 2025 real quick. Iowa will be traveling to Indiana, Nebraska, Purdue, Wisconsin, and they will host Michigan, Michigan State, Minnesota, Northwestern, Penn State. That's a really, really good lineup for Iowa. I mean, I'm talking about contending near the top of the conference. Obviously, we'll have to see where the team's going to line up at and, you know, how people produce, what coaches are on staff, et cetera, et cetera. But just from an on-paper perspective, now, Sean, looking ahead, with if, given the trajectory of the teams that have been there, that's a very favorable schedule for Iowa in terms of who they have to go on the road to and who they're hosting. And as you mentioned, switching things up. I mean, for Iowa in the same Big Ten season, to be able to host Penn State, Michigan State, and Michigan, I can't remember the last time that's happened. I'd have to go back and look it up. I think that'll be a really, really just different feel than we've had for probably the last 10 to 15 years.
That's going to honestly feel like the divisions again. I know a lot of the other teams are, you know, going to have different schedules and whatnot, but this is going to be that season where it truly feels like we're in the Big Ten West again, just like from looking at it from a first glance. I mean, you mentioned it, having Michigan, you know, three Big Ten East teams at home. That's pretty cool. Especially that Penn State and Michigan game. Like that's going to drive in a lot of fan interest, especially if Iowa's good. And yeah, that could be, I mean, 2024 is obviously going to be interesting going into it, but I guess with just like the name brands, because who knows who's going to be on Iowa's roster in 2025 or any of these rosters, especially with the transfer portal and then how that that's coming to play. So you can't really say like, okay, this kid, you know, who's Iowa's quarterback going to be, you know, because like think back 2 years ago, if you would have thought that Cade McNamara would have been Iowa's quarterback in 2023, you would have thought, you know, whoever said that was crazy. But just from like a brand perspective, like I don't think you can get – I mean, obviously you want Ohio State, USC, you know, UCLA you can sell. But I think, you know, outside of Ohio State and USC, I think Iowa, you know, getting Michigan and Penn State, you couldn't have asked for a better home slate. You know, if you're the Hawkeyes, like not just from a competition perspective, but like those are two really good teams. And, you know, I mean, your way games too, like you go to Indiana, that's winnable. You go to Nebraska, we've seen that's been winnable. Purdue, new staff, be interesting to see what happens there. Winnable game. Wisconsin's going to have a tough 2025 slate. I mean,
yeah,
they have Ohio State and USC at home, and then they go to UCLA for a road game. And outside of that, it's manageable. But that's still, you know, that could be a really, like, there's so many more storylines, I think, with some of these new coaches too, and how, like, I mean, obviously with Luke Fickell, Big Ten West, if that continued, you could have seen them competing every year. You know, maybe not this year, we'll see, but I think they're, you know, probably at the top with Iowa and Minnesota. But it's like, you know, some of these new coaches, and like it'll be so fascinating to see, especially in the Big Ten West, how some of these new coaches, you know, what would happen if they stayed the Big Ten West compared to, you know, this new format. It's not like as much of a sure deal as it was, you know, with these divisions and with these new coaches.
I think the other thing that's interesting, I'm just sort of rereading some of the more intricate details of all this, the Flex Protect Plus model. They talked about featuring a combination of protected opponents and rotating opponents for universities. Each institution will continue to play 9 conference games per season, and teams will play every other conference opponent at least twice, once home and once away in a 4-year period. I love that. I think that's so much better than the way it was, because you think back, Sean, for example, Iowa hasn't hosted Ohio State since 55-24. And Iowa fans have really, really, like, I know it's been popular to criticize Iowa's conference scheduling over the years for it being easy. Two things. One, they're in the Big Ten West. It's just weaker. They don't have the powerhouse that the Big Ten East does, right? The other thing is Iowa doesn't control it, because I think if you polled Iowa fans, Sean, maybe you're reading our message board and Twitter differently. Iowa fans want to play Ohio State. They want to play Michigan. They want to play USC. Like, they've wanted to play these big-time, big-brand schools. So I do like the fact that the conference, I think, is at least trying to be more balanced in terms of, okay, you're still going to be able to go up and play against Ohio State twice in a four-year period. You'll be able to go play at Michigan twice in a four-year period. And I think that's what's going to make this the Big Ten so interesting without divisions, because if you're truly trying to crown a Big Ten champion, Sean, you have to have as close to balance as you can, whether it be travel schedule. How often are you playing some of these name brand teams? And that's where – like, it sounds like a lot easier than what it actually is. But again, if you have 16 teams, and again, I need to reread some of the intricate details of it, Sean, but think about Ohio State, Michigan. Well, if they're both undefeated going in the last week of the season, in the tiebreaker scenario, one team wins, what are they supposed to do? Just go play again next week and the winner wins the Big Ten? I don't really understand how that makes sense. So again, yeah. I need to reread some of the intricate details of it, but that's already a scenario where I think if you're a member of the other 14 schools, you're kind of like, is this really it?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, I think the Michigan AD said they'd be open. I mean, I don't know if they've made a final decision on that, but
yeah.
I do think from a perspective like of it just being more competitive. And I think, you know, obviously the tiebreakers are going to be insane with 16 teams. Like that's if you thought the Big Ten West tiebreakers were a mess, then these just regular Big Ten ones with the 16 teams is going to be absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
But I think that gives more of a fair gauge in certain ways. Like I think the product, especially with the Big Ten championship, like I know all the focus is on the college football playoff. But, I mean, with expansion coming, like, you can put more teams, I think, with – like, I think you can size up yourself better if you're the Big Ten with this new format.
Yeah.
Than you could with the other one. Because, I mean, before it was just like, you know, how do we really know that Wisconsin, if they're 11-1, you know, had a great season, only loss, you know, came to their Big Ten East opponent, and then they got – you know, killed in the Big Ten championship against Ohio State.
Yeah.
How can we measure, you know, if they're, you know, good enough to play in that college football playoff?
Yeah.
Like, I think this just gives Iowa, like, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, the top four teams competing for a college football playoff every year are, you know, Ohio State, Michigan, USC, Penn State, and an occasional, like, Michigan State, Iowa,
Wisconsin under Fickell.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that wouldn't surprise me. But I just think this gives more of the conference that prestige and just that, you know, we'll be able to – it'll just be more fair, and I think we'll just get a – I think it's just better from a national perspective too.
You may have just turned my opinion a little bit on this situation because I think that's a really, really good point, Sean. I mean, you think about – you kind of mentioned it. If it was still East versus West, right? Let's say Iowa or Wisconsin is 11-1. And then you look at the East. You have a 12-0 Ohio State, 11-1 Michigan, 10-2 Penn State, 9-3 Michigan State. I don't know if that's realistic, but just roll with me on it, right? How do you know that Wisconsin team is better than the Michigan State team that's 9-3?
Right.
Just given the quality of opponents. So, no, I think it's an interesting point. Again, I just think that at the end of the day, the players have to play. The coaches have to execute. Like, they just have to win the games that are on their schedule. But I also would argue that there's going to be a high degree of pressure on the Big Ten to get this scheduling right year after year after year in order to at least give the presentation that is the most fair. Now, some years are going to be different than others. I mean, what was it, that Nebraska 2025 slate? Is that the one everybody's kind of popping off about?
Yeah, yeah.
They travel to USC, Ohio State. I'm only naming the marquee games. And they're hosting Iowa, Michigan, and UCLA. That's pretty brutal. I mean, that's really brutal. But again, I think you look at what Iowa has to do in 2024. They have 5 road games in the Big Ten. They go to Ohio State, USC, and then they host UCLA, Wisconsin. And how far apart is the Ohio State and USC road trips? Is it going to be 2 in a 3-week period, or is it going to be 1 to kick off Big Ten play and then 1 in the second to last week? Because I'm sure since the rivalries are protected, Sean, they're going to want Iowa, Nebraska on Black Friday. They're going to want Minnesota, Iowa to play in November. Like, I think the protected rivalries, I still think they're going to backlog at the end of Iowa's schedule. But maybe it's not as critical as it was in the past because they're not playing for a Big Ten title. I mean, the Big Ten division, because I think that's when they kind of wanted the separators to go into the final week, right? But now that they don't need that anymore, I mean, who knows? Iowa might kick off Big Ten play against Wisconsin. I mean, that's kind of where we're looking at now, because divisions don't matter after this upcoming year.
Yeah, I mean, that would be weird. Like I said before, that it gave like a Big Ten vibe or Big Ten West vibe. Like, that would not give a Big Ten West vibe at all. that would just be odd. But yeah, I mean, like I said, I think from a branding perspective, and just like, I mean, the Big Ten did it because obviously the West and the East were, I mean, if you're Iowa, you love the divisions. You like prefer it. But I think for an overall prestige of the conference and like just the way things are going in college football with all these conferences changing and everything, I think this makes the most sense in the long run to, you know, kind of just make the conference more appealing and, I mean, drive in money. Like, that's a big thing. Like, competition and success drives in money. And that's kind of what it's all about right now. And, you know, I think this format is a good step for them to do it. Like I said, I mean, I don't want to repeat myself, but it just makes it seem more competitive and just makes it seem like a better gauge of where Iowa or where the Big Ten stacks nationally.
So let's speculate just a little bit here, and then we'll wrap this up. I know you had a couple of recruiting tidbits you want to share too, but I'm just kind of thinking about this the more we talk about it. If the Big Ten continues to add different members, Sean, can they keep up without divisions? Because think about, what if the Big Ten, which is very funny, is still called the Big Ten at this point. What if the Big Ten adds 2 to 3 or 4 more teams? You have 18 to 20 teams. I don't know how you just take the top two and decide it like that. The way I've always thought they would have to do it would be to separate them into different pods, which is still what I would advocate for personally with the 16 teams. Have 3 protected play, you know, teams you play every year. Like, it would be Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska in a pod, right? Winner comes out of that, plays the winner of another pod, then the two of them play for the Big Ten championship. But again, I know that expands the season, but that's what made sense in my mind. Do you really think that the Big Ten could continue to do what it's going to do as far as the no divisions and everything if they add more teams? Because I don't know how that's going to be feasible.
Yeah, if it gets up to 18 or like 20, it's like you play those teams in your division. But it's like, you know, because you want to be able to play different teams from, like, at that point, do you go to the 10 conference game slate? You take away some of those non-conference games, you know, like what does that do to Iowa State, Iowa? I know they have that extension through, is it 2027?
I think so. They didn't extend it that long. Let me double check that quick. I think it was, through 2027 season. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, what do you do at that point? Like, I mean, I know that's kind of 4 years feels like a long ways away, but you know, with the way things are changing and stuff, you know, how I think these 2 years are going to be a big, you know, these next, not this year, obviously, but the next 2 years are going to be a big gauge to see what, you know, if this is successful, then, you know, it'd be interesting to see if the Big Ten decides to ride with it or, you know, they're like, we want more teams and, you know, how that kind of changes things. And yeah, I mean, the pod format would be interesting because at what point, you know, do you have like, what, at what point does it get repetitive? You know, how can you change, you know, teams and I guess schedules. And I know there's like a whole format to it, but that'll be fascinating. I think this year, I mean, I think 2024 and 2025 will give us a better idea of what they kind of want to do down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of mystery and a lot of aspects of college football in general. I mean, with the portal, NIL is continuing to kind of get molded out. I think we're starting to know what to expect in the recruiting world, Sean. I think we know a lot more than we did a year ago at this point as far as covering it and really kind of getting in depth with it. But I think it's exciting times. I think the pod format could work. I'm a little bit more open to the way they did it now after talking with you, because I do think you talk about, I don't want to say balance, but you get kind of a change of scenery, which is kind of nice instead of knowing what to expect. But no, I'm sure we'll continue to talk about this down the road. Sean, I know you have a couple of recruiting tidbits we can tease really, really quick to kind of wrap up this pod. So the floor is yours, all you go.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa will host one official visitor this weekend, being Michael Burt from Creighton Prep in Omaha. 3-star tight end, 6'6", 220 pounds. Iowa offered earlier this week after he attended a camp. Staff really liked him. Then it was interesting to see, you know, the new schools come in. I mean, Nebraska, Minnesota, Illinois all followed within a day. Sounds like Nebraska might be the main competition here, even though it seems like Nebraska's taken like 4 or 5 tight ends in this class. But Iowa will have the first chance to make a big impression this weekend. And I think it was, you know, I've been told that Burt was really adamant about getting on campus this weekend and, you know, scheduling that official visit. And, you know, Iowa would have liked to have him on campus for that big official visit weekend. But I think the Hawkeyes are going to have a good chance to make a big sell this weekend and kind of see where things go. I'm very, very intrigued to see, you know, what Burt decides to do, if he decides to kind of shut it down, because I know he was pretty pumped about that Iowa offer, or maybe Nebraska, you know, makes an even bigger push and, you know, sees what happens there. So that's one thing to watch this weekend. You know, we're still seeing some camp offers go out. 2025 class, I think they could get some guys in the fold this summer. And 2024, I mean, we'll have a big breakdown of the official visit weekend on June 23rd to the 25th. But I think that's a weekend that could be pretty fruitful for the Iowa staff to add on to the class, the 11-man class that they have right now.
I'll tell people, too, you can get 60% off an annual subscription to Hawkeye Insider right now, at least for the next few days. The response has been awesome among the network leaders and new signups. Appreciate it. Content's not going to slow down. I know Sean's going to have all the recruiting stuff covered. And a lot of exciting things ahead. I mean, Big Ten Media Day, Sean, it's in about, what, 5 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, football season's going to be here before we know it. Big, big expectations this year. I'm going to start to speculate who Iowa's going to send for Media Day. I know we talked a little bit about off the air, but there's going to be plenty that I think people are going to want to stay, in, you know, intrigued with and invest in. So, again, 60% off HawkeyeInsider.com VIP. And follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBach247, at Hawkeyes on 24/7. Stay tuned to HawkeyeInsider.com for the most in-depth content of your Iowa Hawkeyes.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.